looking down Obama's list of proposals, there are some good things in here that he's pushing for, both in the extenders and in other areas. And many of these items, if you study this closely and compare it to the camp tax reform proposals which are behind this, you're going to see identical provisions. That's why I think there will eventually be some form of tax reform, but until the Congress gets over its acrimony and its, you know, bipolarization, until they get over that, we're not going to see any meaningful tax legislation. On this list, important items for small businesses, important items for our clients, I talked about the increased expensing for small business. In addition, there's the elimination of capital gains on investments in C corporations. That's under item 1A, it's number, little Roman numeral 8. Up until the end of last year, if you invested in certain qualified small business corporations, you could exclude 100% of the capital gain on the sale of the stock in that company. If you've made those investments today, and you've got a qualifying investment, and you sell it now, even though the legislation expired on December the 31st, you still get the exclusion, correct, CPAs? So as long as you made the investment in one of these qualifying small business companies before December 31st, 2013, in the window that you were allowed to do this, you could exclude up to 100% of the capital gain on the sale of the stock. You could even roll over those gains into investments in new companies, new qualified small business companies, under Section 1045 of the Internal Revenue Code. Great provision. Should inspire a lot of investment in small business. I don't know how much it did, but it expired on December the 31st. Obama's proposal would be to make it permanent. The CAMP provisions also have this provision in it. He is a proponent of extending this relief for qualified small business company investments. That's important. There's a lot of provisions in here providing for credits for, as I mentioned, that have expired. A lot of those are going to get extended in the extender legislation. The new markets credit, the biofuels credit, the efficient homes credit, those are things that are on both agendas, the Democrats and the Republicans. They're very popular among consumers. They're not huge money losers either in many ways. It's the earned income tax credit, the child tax credit, the American opportunity tax credit items that are a little bit more contentious. Down under 1C, small business tax relief, there is a provision that would bring the treatment of organizational costs and startup costs for corporations, partnerships, S-corps, all under one umbrella. There are different code sections that deal with these for C-corps, S-corps, partnerships, and they would say, forget it, bring it all under one umbrella, that's simplification by the way, and limit the amount that you can write off. Obama's proposal was $20,000, CAMP's proposal was $60,000, anything else is amortized over 180 months. Okay, whatever. I mean, the idea is that there's commonality in thinking between the two camps. No pun intended. The international tax system is a big focus of the Obama administration. And this is a big point of departure between the Democrats and the Republicans. Whereas the Republicans want to completely reform the system and make it easier to deal with and easier to understand, and make it easier for multinational corporations to repatriate earnings from abroad and incentivize them to do so, the Democrats want to penalize people for shifting jobs overseas. So I think it's an accurate statement to make that statement, but how they do what they're going to do are very different. So Obama's reform, international reform proposals are very different from the Ways and Means Committee reform proposals. Which one is right? No one knows. But that's where we have a huge point of departure, and that affects multinational corporations, which really drive our economy, believe it or not. You think small business drives the economy? 80% of the jobs are through small business, that's true. But the vast majority of tax revenues are generated from the corporate side by the multinational corporations. There are certain financial products reforms, marking derivatives to market, treating the sales of these types of securities as ordinary income, taxing them as ordinary income. That's in both the Republican and the Democratic proposals. There are a lot of proposals in Camp's provisions that would affect the insurance industry. Not life insurance products per se, but how insurance companies are taxed. Because the insurance companies have their own set of provisions under the Internal Revenue Code. Banks do too. Both the president and Representative Camp are proposing to eliminate all fossil fuel preferences, the ability to expense intangible drilling costs, things that came into being in the early 1980s in the Reagan administration that were helping the petroleum industry. With the move toward alternative fuels, the need to incentivize that type of behavior is viewed as not being good for the economy, good for America. So everybody's pulling back on these incentives. They're proposing to pull back on these incentives. And believe it or not, the Ways and Means Committee proposals, the tax reform proposals, include those loophole closures. The biggest, I think, provision that would affect individuals in Obama's proposals is under item K on page 2. And then we'll talk about the estate and gift proposals. He's basically proposing that any tax benefit that you get from itemized deductions, from exclusions as a result of excluding certain types of income, be limited so that there's always some level of minimum tax imposed. That's that 28%. And he also wants to implement the Buffett rule, the 30% sort of fair tax. Again, this is not in the Ways and Means tax reform proposals. But in the Ways and Means tax reform proposals, he does away with a lot of itemized deductions. The ability to claim a deduction for home mortgage interest in excess of $500,000 is in the Camp proposals, the Republican proposals. The ability to claim a deduction for state and local taxes, income tax, property tax, real estate tax, is eliminated under the Camp proposals, under the Republican tax reform proposals. So there are some controversial things in there that are going to affect our clients. You need to keep your eyes on the ball as it's moving forward. Again, I don't think that's going to happen this year. It's not part of the extension legislation, unless they try to use some of these things to pay for the extenders. And the extender legislation as it's been proposed by the Senate would lose about $70 billion in revenue. They have to pay for that somehow. So the question is that we'll be seeing how they do it. They may just bypass that rule, the pay-as-you-go rule, like they did in ATRA 2013, but we'll see what happens. In the estate, gift, and generation skipping transfer tax rules under L, here's what President Obama wants to do. He's wanted to do several of these things over the last several years, but he's also changed his tune on several other items. His Green Book proposals include an increase in the estate and gift tax rate from 40% to 45%, and a decrease in the exemptions for estate and generation skipping transfer tax from $5.34 million today down to $3.5 million. But more importantly, the gift tax exemption would go back to $1 million.
And how likely is that to?
He's been pushing for it since the beginning of time. The Republicans, what do you think is in Congressman Camp's tax reform proposals in terms of estate and gift and generation skipping? There is no change in the law proposed. In the Camp reform proposals, interestingly, there are provisions that deal with the income tax, individual and corporate. There are provisions that deal with how flow-through entities are treated, S-corps and partnerships. There are provisions that deal with the foreign tax system. excise taxes, insurance companies, penalties, administration, not one word on the estate, gift, or generation-skipping transfer tax. The Republicans ideally want the whole thing repealed. They tried to do it. They almost got it for 1 year. They had it in 2010. The estate tax was repealed for a year. And, you know, George Steinbrenner's estate was very happy, and so was John Kluge's estate, and a billionaire down in Houston also was very, very happy about it, multi-billionaire. But the likelihood of repeal, if we have any Democrat control in any part of Congress, highly unlikely. Even if the Republicans were somehow to be able to take over the Senate and maintain control of the House, highly unlikely. Here's what could happen. Democrats get elected to the presidency in 2016. The House shifts into Democratic control for whatever reason. And then the Senate remains under Democratic control. If that happens, then I think these provisions are likely to be enacted. But that's only if the House goes back under Democratic control. And that's highly unlikely based on all the predictions that are out there right now. So we'll continue to have this fractionated Republican House, Democratic Senate, and whoever is running the presidency sort of powerless unless he can get both sides to compromise. The only one who I've seen successful at that was Clinton. We'll see what happens in the next election. So what are these provisions? Consistency in valuing assets for income tax, estate tax, and generation skipping transfer tax. Right now, there are ways under the case law of arguing different valuations for different purposes, and the code sections facilitate that. The Obama administration would change that. Over the last four to six years, Obama has asked for a diminishment of how you are able to use these tax-shifting devices, GRATs, grant or retained annuity trusts. The Walton case, you could transfer an asset, highly appreciated asset, to a trust, pay yourself an annuity for 2 years at a deep discount, but it's fair market value, and get it out of your estate forever, permanently. The Obama administration proposes a minimum 10-year rule for GRATs, which means that if you die in that 10-year period, it gets dragged back into your estate. He's been proposing that since the beginning. So there's nothing new there. And there's also a limitation equal to your life expectancy plus 10 years. This is nothing new. This has been in all of his proposals. The likelihood of its being enacted, again, at this stage, highly unlikely. So if you're planning for your clients, and you've got clients that are either high net worth or becoming high net worth because they may have a liquidity event or a business exit that will yield substantial value to them, the use of GRATs, short-term GRATs, is advisable. Interest rates are low, valuations remain depressed, and we can use these techniques. Why not? Limit the duration of the generation skipping transfer tax exemption. Well, right now we can use dynasty trusts that last ad infinitum, forever, permanent, perpetual. He wants it to end on the 90th anniversary of the creation of whatever vehicle that you've used to transfer the wealth. That's also not new. That has been in his Green Book proposals for the last 6 years. Here's one that hasn't been. Number five, coordinate the income and transfer tax treatment of grantor trusts. What does that mean? We have a technique that we use where we'll sell an asset to an intentionally defective grantor trust. Defective for income tax purposes because the guy who sells it to his defective trust doesn't have to pay income tax on the sale. But for estate purposes and gift tax purposes, it's highly effective because it moves the value that you of the asset that you sold and all appreciation relating to it out of your estate forever. So for income tax purposes, I'm treated as the owner of the trust, and any taxes I pay on that income in the trust that's earned by the trust are also out of my estate. So I have a way of shifting wealth out of my estate by selling an asset and paying the taxes for the trust so that future generations don't have to pay it while I'm alive. The president is proposing to change that rule, effectively doing away with the ability to use intentionally defective grantor trusts, meaning that if I sell the asset, then I've got to pay the income tax on the sale if I'm going to exclude it from my estate. If I don't want to exclude it from my estate, I can elect not to. I'll sell it, I won't pay the income tax, but it gets brought back into my estate when I die. It's effectively doing away with a whole section of the Internal Revenue Code and a whole set of planning techniques that we use. Will this be enacted? Not this year. Will it be enacted in the future? Pretty aggressive. Now, there are exceptions for irrevocable life insurance trusts, which is good news for the life insurance salesman, meaning that we can continue to have grantor irrevocable life insurance trusts because the inside buildup is already not being taxed anyway. And there's no proposal on the table, by the way, that would go after the inside buildup of cash surrender value in life insurance policies. Why is that? Jason?
Perhaps because NAFA has been lobbying since 1913.
Because the lobby is so intense and so strong. It's true. Number six is not very controversial. Number seven is another controversial new provision that was not in prior proposals. A HEAT, Health Education, what's the other one? Health Education Exclusion Trust. Health Education Exclusion Trust. When you set up a trust, first of all, when you make a gift and you pay for somebody else's medical costs directly, so you want to help somebody out, and you pay their hospital expenses, or you pay their doctor's expenses, if you do it directly to the physician or to the hospital, it's not considered a gift for gift tax purposes. It's excluded completely. It's not subject to the annual exclusion limitations. It's not subject to the lifetime exclusion, which is now $5,340,000. It's ignored. Same rule for tuition, qualified tuition payments. Not room and board, but tuition. If you pay the tuition for a private secondary school or a college, you pay that tuition directly to the institution on behalf of your grandchild or your niece or whoever, it's not considered a gift for gift tax purposes. We developed a technique over the years called a HEAT, Health Education Exclusion Trust. We would make a gift into a trust for future generations where the disbursements from the trust would be made directly to the doctors, the hospitals, the educational institutions for the benefit of the named beneficiaries of the trust. By virtue of how the Internal Revenue Code is structured and creative planning, the Obama administration argues that it may not work, that there are arguments that you could use to attack it, but I'd like to see them litigate it. They'd lose. The code is clear that if you make the gift to the trust and the trust uses it specifically for those purposes, it's not considered a distribution that would be subject to estate tax or generation skipping transfer tax. So you can set up a dynasty trust today, and we've done that for clients, where you can shift wealth solely for health and education that otherwise might not qualify for the generation skipping transfer tax exemption or the gift tax exemption or the estate tax exemption. It's a beautiful planning technique. For the very wealthy people use it, they would do away with it completely. Another, I think, controversial one is the next one, number 8. They want to simplify, in the name of tax reform, the ability to make present interest gifts and claim the annual exclusion. You know how when you make a gift to a trust, you've got to send a notice out to the trust beneficiaries and give them the right to withdraw for some period of time, the crummy notice? That came about as a result of a court case back in 1969. And it's been embedded in our law ever since. And the IRS has lost various challenges to that case. And so they've acquiesced in it. And they begrudgingly abide by it. What the Obama administration is proposing is to do away with any requirement that gifts to a trust be a gift of a present interest. Because when you make a gift to a trust and it's for the future benefit of somebody, unless they have the right to make that withdrawal, it's not a present interest gift and it doesn't qualify for the annual gift tax exclusion. Well, the Obama administration is saying, oh, let's just simplify it. And let's just say up to $50,000 a year, whether it's a present interest gift or not, qualifies for the annual gift tax exclusion. So right now we can gift away $14,000 per donee. This limitation would be imposed at the donor level. Anything over that amount will be subject to either exemption, the million or in his case, or the $5.34 million, or tax.